I have listened with interest to the comments and issues raised by members, and it's clear that the delivery of the A5 project is of huge importance for members, as it is for me as Minister for Infrastructure. I have made clear on many occasions my commitment to taking this project forward in accordance with the statutory procedures. As members have pointed out, with over 50 fatalities along the existing A5 since 2006, which is a staggering, depressing figure, I have to say, the dangers to the users of the current A5 are evident for all to see and have caused heartbreak to too many family homes. Clearly, a new dual carriageway can significantly reduce collisions. By the physical separation of vehicles travelling in opposite directions, by facilitating safe overtaking for the entire 85-kilometre length of the new dual carriageway, by enabling vehicles to travel at a consistent and safe speed, by minimising manoeuvres at busy junctions and side roads, by separating strategic long-distance journeys from those on local trips, and providing significant relief to the many towns, villages, as Colm has pointed out, even in terms of the impact on Auchnacloy, and hamlets along the existing road, which will no longer have to endure the burden of constant heavy traffic volumes through the heart of the local communities and local facilities such as schools and shops that adjoin the existing road. An example, if one is needed, and has been mentioned by several members, is the provision of the dual carriageway on the adjoining A4 between Dungannon and Ballygolly. The notorious road had 37 fatalities in 10 years, and the new dual carriageway was opened in 2010. With every fatality is, of course, regrettable. There has been just two since the opening of the A4. I had a conversation recently with a farmer who lost land as a result of the A4 scheme. And he told me at the time that when the A4 was being proposed, he was deeply frustrated and indeed angry that he was to lose land, because I knew the connection between farmers and their land. He also had a business which was severely disrupted as a result of it. He is now proud that he contributed to the safety features of the A4. He has since rebuilt his business, and he said to me, "John, tell anyone who has concerns to come and talk to me." He says, "Because I am proud to be able to say I helped save people's lives on the A4. The A5 is a similar example. However, when improving road safety has always been and remains one of the key objectives of the new road, it is not the only one. The new dual carriageway is also of significant strategic importance to the North West region and our wider island, as several members have pointed out, helping to tackle regional imbalance, improving the economy, job prospects and prosperity, and connecting communities. I share the frustrations expressed by members in the length of time it has taken to get this transformative project through the statutory processes. My department and I must nevertheless follow due process and apply due diligence. As the House will be aware, the A5 dualing project is an executive flagship project, and its origins are in the St Andrews Agreement, agreed through the North-South Ministry and agreed through the North-South Ministerial Council in 2007. As a project to deliver 85 kilometres of new dual carriageway between new buildings and the border at Auchnacloy, it is significant and an ambitious project by any standards, and the biggest road project ever to be undertaken here. My department must comply with the statutory procedures governing the construction, improvements and acquisition of land for trunk roads, as contained within the Roads Order NI 1993. Members will know the history of the project, but just for the record, following the first public inquiry in 2011, the statutory orders to allow the A5 to proceed were made in 2012, but subsequently challenged by the Alternative A5 Alliance, a group which is opposed to the new road from the outset. This challenge led to the squashing of the statutory orders in April 2013, and it was judged that the department had not fully met its obligations under the Habitats Regulations. This ruling was unprecedented and set a new compliance benchmark in the development of all major infrastructure schemes from that point onwards. Lessons were learned from this ruling, and further developments worked to address the deficiency followed, leading to the publication of and consultation on a new environment and statement and draft statutory orders in February 2016. With almost 1,000 representations made, a public inquiry was deemed necessary, and then second inquiry took place in the latter half of 2016. The Planning Appeals Commission report from that inquiry was revived by the Department in May 2017, advised that received by the Department in May 2017, advised that the project should proceed. In the absence of a minister, a formal decision to proceed was made in November 2017. by the then Permanent Secretary of the Department. The decision, if unchallenged, would have represented the completion of the statutory procedures and would have allowed the project to move to the construction phase. However, the decision was again legally challenged by the A5 Alliance in December 2017. 10 grounds of challenge were listed, including the powers for the Permanent Secretary to make the decision in the absence of a minister. Having given careful consideration to the relevant Court of Appeal decision made during 2018 in Burick, as well as to the provisions of the Executive Formation and Exercise of Functions Act 2018, legal advice it provided to the Department officials indicated a high likelihood that the Permanent Secretary's decision would be quashed. It was concluded that it was not therefore in the public interest to continue defending the legal challenge, and consequently the decision to proceed was quashed, taking effect from the 16th of November 2018. The quashing of this decision essentially took the project back to February 2016 position, effectively knocking it back 3 years. Since November 2018, the Department is carrying out work to enable a decision by a new minister. It's a requirement when assessing environmental impacts that decisions must be based on up-to-date environmental information. With this in mind, updated environmental information in the form of an environmental statement addendum was published for consultation in March 2019. By necessary, this information continued to relate to the base data contained in the original environmental statement of 2016. It's important to note that with the passage of time, new and updated environmental standards are being continuously introduced through legislation and other technical gains, and this can present a risk of challenge. With the 264 representations made to the 2019 consultation exercise, the Department concluded that a further public inquiry would be necessary, and the third inquiry took place over 7 days in February and March 2020. In September 2020, my Department received an interim report from the PAC on its findings from the inquiry, not a final report, as would be normal procedure. It contained two key recommendations in relation to the need for further assessments on flood risks and scheme alternatives. The PAC recommended these assessments be incorporated into further addendums to the environmental statement and made available for further public consultation. The PAC therefore adjourned the inquiry, indicating that it could be reconvened when the Department has taken these steps. An interim departmental statement issued in March 2021, DFAI accepted the recommendations relating to flood and risk alternatives. This led to the publication and consultation on further environmental statement in March 2022 and the release of information for consultation in November 22 and January 23. The 2020 public inquiry was then reconvened in May 23, concluding in early June, and many members, and be aware that many members of the public also attended, including grieving families. The Planning Appeals Commission, who administered the public inquiry, issued their final advisory report to the Department on the 31st of October 2023. I have been fully briefed on the current progress and upon the advisory recommendations of the PAC. Work remains ongoing in considering those recommendations, and I hope to be able to make an announcement on the project in the coming months. And in relation to Ms Erskine's comments, when I make my announcement, I will also publish the PAC report at the same time. When I make my announcement on the Executive Flagship Project, I will do so in accordance with the relevant statutory procedures and on the basis of all of the evidence, representations and advice which I have received from my officials, from statutory agencies north and south, from members of the public and from other bodies which have participated in the process to date. Subject to the completion of all necessary statutory process and environmental assessments, as I have outlined above, the construction of the project could begin late in this year. I should also point out, however, that major projects such as the A5 are inherently complex and can be vulnerable to legal challenge. I would appeal to those people who have been behind the previous legal challenges to think carefully about their actions, and to think also about the greater good of our society as a whole, and of our communities and future generations in getting a safe road in place that serves the needs of all road users. In closing, Laskin Cornia, I want to thank Nicola again for bringing this forward. I also want to note and welcome the support of all members who have spoken to the construction of the A5. I can assure members of my commitment and that of my department to progress this project in accordance with the statutory procedures as far as possible to reach a decision within the shortest time frame reasonably possible. In conclusion, I also want to commend those grieving families who have made their voices heard in relation to the A5 and, despite their grief, have championed the cause of improved road safety for all those users of the A5.